Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
G'day everybody and welcome to the Draft Doctors. If my voice sounds a little bit different to Doss, that is because it is I, Jono, taking the hosting chair for this week while Doss still waits in line for an Eddie Betts autograph down at Glenelg. Apparently there was 600,000 people waiting to see the great man and get a signature, and Doss is still there. No Statesman, no Cam, so it is the original OG podcast with Stevie Fizz. And Steve, I believe that the great man Dipper was in the best rat this week to spur on the boys.
He was. He came up midweek, and there was a film crew, and everyone was getting around the Ararat Eagles. Of course, they lost by over 500 points last week. Actually, my boss plays for the same club that won the match, although he plays in the reserves. But it's obviously worked a treat because they've only gone down by 230 this week. So good time on the way up for the Ararat Eagles, and they kicked two goals this week. So good times.
Maybe
good times.
Get Lethal Lee Matthews down there. They'll get a win.
Well,
let's them all.
The funniest thing is like they lost by 500. They're not even second last. They've actually won a game.
That's crazy.
Isn't that bizarre? Craziness.
Very bizarre. But we are talking all thing round 20 waiver wire pickups and the round 19 review. And we're going to kick straight into it tonight with Collingwood and Richmond, where it was actually a bit of a reversal of the prelim final from last year. Richmond just came out and absolutely smoked Collingwood, who are now down to the bare bones. And I think some of the Ararat Eagles will be suiting up for Collingwood this week with news of Quainer and Degoe with injuries. But the Tigers players, they are now fantasy relevant. You've got guys like, especially the defenders, you've got Hooley, Short, and Vlosten. We thought there was a concern that Hooley was going to score poorly when Short came back, but they're sharing the ball around now as well. And Cotchin, he was on fire before his hamstring injury. Dusty, Stack, they've got guys rolling through that midfield who are all scoring. And also Handsome Tom, my love child, man, he's back in form. Kicked five goals against a hapless Collingwood defence. So I would be streaming all things Gold Coast Suns this week against Collingwood because they have got no one left. And they pushed Essendon just this week as well. So, and Grundy, he looked a little bit off to me, Steve. I don't know if you saw much of this game, but he just looked like he was really lethargic and wasn't moving too well.
Yeah, look, it's pretty interesting, isn't it? The Collingwood team have obviously suffered a lot of injuries, but I think the real story is like you mentioned, the Richmond side of the ball. Like last year, they were arguably the best you know team in the competition and lost, but they were completely irrelevant for fantasy. And this year, they you know it looks like they've turned the corner and they're really putting it together. They're taking close to 100 marks. Like those are things they just weren't doing, and the thing that really is fantastic for them is that Riewoldt being back has freed up Handsome Tom, and he is just dominant.
Yeah, he just it looked on Friday night that Riewoldt was actually screening for Tom Lynch, and I'm sure it'll go swings and roundabouts, but one of them's going to push up the ground. We know Handsome Tom has had the PCL issues, but I think next year they're going to be bigger and better, especially for your Supercoach formats.
Yeah, and we've actually got some notes through from the Statesman in it, and it's something we've seen over the last few years, Collingwood giving up big scores to defenders like you just mentioned. Jono, he thinks that Dusty will spend more time in the midfield with Cotchin going down and the Richmond forwards, you know, looking like they're firing. And Jack Graham, again, may be a beneficiary of the Cotchin injury. We know he spent a lot of time in the midfield in previous weeks, as well as Shai Bolton.
Yeah, exactly right. And you checked out the Crows and the Blues game.
Yeah, I did. And, you know, Crows Carlton fans will be up and about, but man, Crows fans will be bitterly disappointed about this one. But I've got a really interesting thing, as fans will know, where tracking the CBAs, and that article comes out each Wednesday where we record the CBA numbers, centre bounce attendances. Carlton only used 4 midfielders in the centre square for the whole match. That is the tightest rotation you will see.
Was that, let me guess, Curnow, Cripps, Murphy, and maybe a Fisher?
Well, Fisher was out, Walsh. Yeah.
They ran that last week as well, with Fisher maybe having 1 or 2 CBAs, because I looked at that last week. Very interesting.
Yeah, so Cripps, Curnow, and Murphy, all 85% or above. And yeah, Walsh did spell, but that is as tight a rotation as you'll get. Thought Setterfield played pretty well. Matt Kennedy continues his forward role. He kicked 4 goals, I think, last week, and he laid 7 tackles this week, but not a fantasy option. But it's good to see him at least building some form. We know he's missed a lot of time with injury and all that sort of thing. Patrick Wilson got a run for the Crows, and he was actually in the midfield taking some CBAs. Brody Smith did the same. And just still, defenders against the Crows is just money for jam. We saw Cade Simpson trot out a massive score this week. Nick Newman was pretty good again. Some of the keys were a bit down, but the defenders against the Crows have been a thing all year, and I think it's just that poor midfield forward connection. We know they dropped bets during the week, but so I'm certainly all about using defenders against the Crows.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that Adelaide midfield just looked really slow and one-dimensional. Looks like they've been figured out probably since the bye rounds.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to do, is they're trying to get some pace through it. Like, we've seen them put Miller in there. This match you saw Brody Smith go through. Even Paul Seedsman took a bounce. So I think they're trying, but it's just not happening.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, I checked out the Hawks versus the Lions, and with Grant Birchall back, it sort of reverted to about a fortnight ago when we saw Sicily play deep defence, which he did again this week, and Birch was playing as that higher defender, taking in the intercept marks. They both scored pretty well in your Supercoach format, Sicily with a 91 and Birchall was in the 80s, but the AFL fantasy scores were down because obviously not getting as much possession. I did the CBAs for this game, and Steph Martin, Oscar McInerney, they split it down pretty much 50-50 ruck time there. So it looks like they're slowly bringing in the big O to be that number one ruckman. And he actually scored pretty good in terms of fantasy this week. He had the 83 Supercoach this week and 96 in as well the previous week. So he's more of your Supercoach player than an AFL fantasy. Ruck forward eligibility. Playing in the Bulldogs this week, so not maybe a handy pickup later in the week, but big concern there if you've got a big Steph Martin in your team and they're starting to look to roll McInerney through there. Wingard, he had 62% CBA attendance, but he's not getting a lot of that transition ball from when they come from defence, so he's getting your 20-odd disposals, kicking a goal, but not many tackles there, so not sure if it's just a management thing where they're just building him up from his injuries. We know he's had a lot of soft tissues this year, but it'd be an interesting one to see how they use him. And Warple, I love Jimmy Warple, but I'm not too sure what's going to happen with him next year when Titch comes back. Do they roll him, Titch, and O'Meara in that midfield, or do they leave someone like a Wingard as well? So it's just one to keep an eye out on.
Well, you'd have to think they'd Wingard to be the rotation guy.
Well, they threw Burgoyne in again this week. He had 14.
He'd be finished.
You never know with Clarko.
Keeper legs, hang on to Sean Burgoyne.
Well, he's got defender eligibility, so why not in some games? But yeah, it's going to be interesting with Jimmy Warple, because I dare say he loses that forward status this year as well.
Yeah, that's a consideration, that's for sure.
Yeah, so just keep an eye out on that one. And moving on to West Coast and North Melbourne.
Yeah, so look, the man who we spoke about as being totally washed last week kicked 7 goals this week off 11 disposals, if you don't mind. JJK was just...
He listens to the show. To the show.
I can't blame him. It's a good show. Look, Jack Darling is just... he's playing some unbelievable footy over the last 6 weeks. Like, actually, this whole year, he's really had a couple of stinkers early in the piece, which has affected his average. But for the most part, he's been really returning some serious value for the Hitters owners. A couple of the interesting stories from this game. Paul Ahern got the shift to half back for North Melbourne. Now, we've seen him play really limited time on ground rolls through the midfield as an inside midfielder, but with the full complement back for North Melbourne with Cunnington, Higgins, Anderson, LDU and the like, they put him in a new role, and he had 27 touches, scored the 84 Dream Team and 92 Supercoach, and his time on ground was a really, really healthy 87%. Now, it'll be interesting to see if he has enough games left in the bank and they continue him in this role, if this is a thing that they try, if he gets defender eligibility next year. But it's certainly interesting from a fantasy perspective going forward, because listening to his interviews after the match, he seemed quite happy with the role. He enjoyed having the ball in front of him and using his skills to sort of attack. And that's something North Melbourne haven't really had over the last few years. We know Jamie Millen's had some usable games. We know Sam Wright's battled injury. So this could be a real positive for the club and Paul Ahern's fantasy future. And I might just pump the brakes on Jai Simpkin, even in Supercoach with Higgins back and LDU in the team and Anderson and all those guys I just mentioned. He's still in the midfield and still taking CBAs and all that sort of stuff we like from a fantasy perspective. But I think with the high competition for touches from within his own team, it might be just time to sit him on the bench or drop him to the pool in that sort of league.
Just going back to that Paul Ahern one, Luke McDonald, is he still playing or is he out injured? Because that was sort of his role. Well, they tried to make it his role.
Well, they tried, but I think he was playing more lockdown. He wasn't playing this week. He's, I'm not sure he's got much of a fantasy future. Like, Luke McDonald might be more like Chris Marston, where he moves into a more defensive role, but I don't know. Luke McDonald, we all whiffed on him a couple of years ago when we had him ranked pretty highly, but it's hard to see him. And the thing about I really like about Paul Ahern, and something I look for in my fantasy players, and it's something that McDonald actually didn't do, is he can win his own ball.
Mm.
So it's really interesting. Even in this match, 9 contested touches when you're playing as a defender, like a halfback, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
so definitely. I'm certainly interested in that going forward.
Now, if you're able to stay up and keep your eyes open to the end of this game, it was actually a pretty good last 10 minutes, and that was the Giants.
Sorry, John. Luke McDonald fractured the leg, out for the year.
There you go. The Giants and the Port. Wow, what a snooze fest all the way up until the end. But a few things to notice in this game was Ken Hinckley threw Justin Westhoff as the full back in this game. Pretty much played there the whole night. Was pretty handy in that role, stopping Mumford, basically, because they ran with the two ruckmen, but he took a few kick-ins as well, a heap of intercept marks because the Giants were just bombing in there and had a pretty decent fantasy score. So see that if they continue to do that from next week as well, because Ryder was in this week and didn't kept Westhoff out of the ruck. Ryder had limited ruck time. Predominantly, he was in the third quarter, but took one or two a quarter. Here and there, but he was predominantly the full forward for that game as well. Carl Amon just seems to be the go-to guy now. I think, Steve, you spoke about him maybe a few weeks ago, but he's not taking the CBAs, but he's out there on the wing, and they're looking to get the ball in his hands, and he's that running wingman defender type who launches the ball inside 50, and he's been producing some pretty good scores, so is a midfielder only, but maybe gets a forward or defender status next year. But pretty keen on him because he was sort of that fringe player, but really turned it around now.
Yeah, always like that. What have you seen with the GWS Ruckman there? Like, they've got...
It was all Simpson.
Yeah, it was all Simpson. Because they've got Sydney next week, and I've got to imagine someone's going to have their way with Hayden McLean.
It depends on which way they go. I mean, Simpson held his own against Lysette, but Mummy was only really there for one or two a quarter, essentially. I mean, not many goals were kicked, but he was only there one or two a quarter. And if they really want to hurt McLean, then they'll play Mummy. But it looks like it's Simpson's job from here on in, I think.
Yeah, fair enough.
The next game was the Saints and the D's.
Yeah, so we got some more notes from the Statesman here, as he was a late withdrawal from our match, much like a Geelong player. Melbourne are a better side with Max Gawn as the only ruck. They will now be hard to score against in that position. Note for captain options. Although I think Rowan Marshall was pretty good for Supercoach this week.
He was.
And will the real Angus Brayshaw come out? What is his value in a redraft next year? Jono, what do you think about Angus Brayshaw next year?
Oh, man, he's, what, round 13? He's a flyer, M6.
So you, like, let's say we have our, you know, we've got the, I know we've got a lot of new listeners this year. We've got our fantastic mock draft tool, which we release in the preseason. Do you see someone that Angus Brayshaw, let's say he was going in that round 13, you'd look to snap him up a couple rounds earlier?
Yeah, quite possibly, because we know what his upside's like. Where'd he go, 105, 106 last year? So we know that upside's there, but it's just something that's fallen away at the Melbourne Footy Club, because he's playing guts, but just not scoring.
Do you think he might be just playing injured, or maybe, you know, he's a young bloke, you know, we all go through some things when we're younger?
Well, that's the thing, he's only 23, so, and he has had concussion issues before. I don't know if he's taken a knocker, so yeah, there could be some underlying factor we don't know about. I'm pretty sure he didn't go in. He was one of those players that went in for pre-season surgery, so I can't see anything too wrong with him.
Yeah, so, and Statesman also really likes Jack Loney, thinks he's the real deal. I will say I noticed myself in this match, Jade Gresham and Jack Sinclair took a lot of CBAs, and they were in the midfield quite a lot.
Yeah, they did last week. I know Gresham especially took a lot of CBAs, and Sinclair just sprinkling. It was, it seemed like Akers was the one who was actually thrown out last week, but he seemed to score all right this week. I didn't see the game, but
yeah, Gresham's taken a lot most of the year.
Yeah. So, again, we've spoken about this ad nauseum. We've got, you got Hanbury, Jack Stevens back, so it's a wait and see. But my big question is, Seb Ross actually produced a fantasy score. What the hell was that? Does he have any notes there about him?
No, he doesn't. And look, I don't think Seb Ross has been, I know the scores haven't been there, and we sort of expected him to be really good this year, but it's kind of, like, I talk about internal competition. I don't think it's any surprise that Jack Billings had one of his poorer games when Seb Ross had one of his better games, yeah. If that makes sense. Like, Seb Ross kicked a couple goals, he let 9 tackles, 7 marks, so not everyone can do everything all at the same time. So I think they're a better team when Seb Ross is playing well. But, you know, it just happened to go his way this week, and it didn't really go Billings. I know Billings still scored 85 in Dream Team, and he only scored the 65 in Supercoach, but sometimes it just doesn't go your way. That's how it is.
Yeah, no, just interesting that as a Seb Ross owner, I saw that he pumped out a big one, so I don't know if it was role change or something like that.
I mean, he's been pretty midfield heavy. Sometimes he's been off the half back, but, you know, he was sort of all around it this week as well.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Moving on to the Dogs and the Freo Dockers. The Freo Mantle Club are an absolute rabble even. Aaron Sanderlands, he should not be playing. He's just a liability for them. Look, I know they don't have any tall targets down there with Tabner and McCarthy and all that out, but he just makes them look really slow. Darcy seemed to be all right as the ruckman. Rory Lobb, we know, has been playing that deep forward because of Sandy and Darcy. So, Ross Lyon, I'd get Sandy out. Darcy, and we've seen it a few weeks ago, Darcy and Lobb actually worked well as that 1-2 combination. So, I'd be looking to fade Sandy and look to get Darcy and Lobb back in my team. Nat Fyfe, obviously still playing injured. He started at full forward in the first quarter. Didn't really even take a centre bounce until the second quarter, so really affected his scoring output there. But they look really slow and one-paced as well there, Fremantle. And Luke Ryan, he was actually had a forward tag from Zane Cordy before he went off with a hamstring injury. Something we haven't really seen this year for Luke Ryan. So he's gone with a hamstring. So not too sure on how bad it is. And Steve, it is Andy Brayshaw season. He was in the guts all day, every day, and looks to get going to get a continued role in there.
Yeah, look, I rolled him out in our home league, Jono, which incidentally I won my final. Sad to see your season's over. What can you say?
Two injuries in the first quarter.
I'll be honest, like this is the kind of shitty part about fantasy football. You've only lost by what, 50, and yep. You had a guy get two players get injured in the first quarter.
Yes.
So
them's the breaks. And this will be the last show ever because I've cracked it.
Well, what can you do? Like, you've played a good season, like, yeah. And, you know, those are the sort of things, like a Tom Lynch laid out or two injuries cost me second spot on the ladder with a week off. So, swings and roundabouts, man. Swings and roundabouts.
It is. I'll be back bigger and better next year and no more Matt Crouch ever again because that did not work out this year.
A lot of people have said that.
Oh, really? All right, so where's this town hall meeting with Matt Crouch owners? I'm in all aboard adding that.
A lot of people are very anti-Matt Crouch at the minute, which is quite interesting. It's Brayshaw season next year. The only thing I'm querying is, like, the Brayshaw season T-shirts are gonna be out there, but it's Hunter Clark season as well.
Well, yeah, exactly right. I didn't say it, but his scores of the last 3 weeks have been unreal.
He just looks awesome, man. He looks settled. You know, he looks like he belongs.
Well, I only saw one bit in the last quarter where basically three Melbourne players jumped on him, broke the tackle, just streamed forward, kicked it inside 50, and then kicked a goal. It's just like he's got power and speed. It's unreal.
The only thing I'll say about it is I think Brayshaw's path to pure midfield time is a lot easier than Hunter Clark's.
Agree.
But I think he demands it.
Agree.
So that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Definitely. The Swans and the Cats, what did you see there, Steve?
Yeah, look, again, Jordan Dawson, we know he's been swung all over the ground this year. He was forward and he was kicking snags. The guy's just a good footballer. The Swans did move their key defenders forwards, whatever you want to call them, around again in Melican and McCartan. And I mean, I'm not sure they're playable, but it is a note from the match. Scott Selwood, he played his first game this season and I thought he was pretty good. He took some centre bounce attendances, very limited time on ground, but he actually sort of contributed in all facets of the game. We know he's been primarily built his score through tackles, but you know, tackles, marks, kicked a goal in this match. So I would suspect that Geelong look to rest Gary Ablett next week and maybe even another player or two as they travel to Fremantle. Although I know they need to win and all that sort of thing, but Gary Ablett, he was just owned in the first half. So I'm a bit unsure about what they'll do. We've seen Essendon they've won by 10 points today against the Gold Coast, but they made tough work of it. But they're playing a back-to-back away trip. They played in Adelaide last week. So it'll be interesting to see what Geelong do with the back-to-back interstate trips. So I'd certainly be prepared if I was a Gary Ablett owner. And certainly, we know Geelong have been the kings of the laid-out move, so I'd certainly be prepared for that sort of thing to happen. But if you're really hard up, Scott Selwood might be an interesting play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've got him down as one of the waiver wire pickups this week because I completely agree that Ablett and Oren Danger or Joel Selwood or someone like that certainly needs a rest. And even Tim Kelly, to an extent, he looked like he was fading the last few weeks as well, whether that's a byproduct of Geelong not being as dominant, but who knows?
Yeah,
it's Geelong.
Also, I'd say Zach Smith isn't long for the AFL.
Get another gig at his fifth club, fourth club, wherever he's going to go.
Well, once, you know, Collingwood trade Brody Grundy to Adelaide, they'll need a ruckman.
It'd be a straight swap for Riley O'Brien, won't it? Or Sauce Jacobs?
I reckon they'd probably have a plot of midfielder come over just to mix in with the rest of the Pies. Anyway, Jono, enough about my former team.
Yes, speaking of your current team, the Gold Coast Suns pushed the Dons all the way and actually led for, I think, 2.5 quarters. And
they were in front in the last quarter.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Damn. Maybe it would have been a bit more if Zaharakis' goal was allowed. I don't know if you saw that. As a Zaharakis owner, I was not happy at that time. Didn't mean anything in the end, but eh.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't great.
I mean, if you're in finals matchups and to kick and a goal, like, that's points that someone could have lost by 2 points, and there's the game.
It's pretty inexplicable that it wasn't just a goal on the spot, but it was even more inexplicable that it was just not a review.
Yeah, it's called play on.
Yeah, bizarre. Bizarre.
Very bizarre. So what did the statesman say about this game? What does his note say?
Oh, nothing. He didn't do this game because he's out celebrating his... he sent us a photo and he was with people who we should know, apparently. But I'm just like, if they're hanging out with the statesman, they're probably, I don't know. Would anyone
questionable?
Know?
Questionable?
I mean, statesman might be the biggest celebrity.
Well, it is Tasmania. How many celebrities have they got? The Rebels?
Oh, my goodness. So, look, Tuck Miller, probably get a lot of questions about him over the next couple of weeks. He looks to be a great option. Really been freed up from those tagging duties, as we saw early in the year. When that's happened, he's been very fantasy relevant. I mean, what can you say? This is kind of the thing at the end of the year, isn't it, Jono? Like, teams will either experiment or they'll just kind of go
fold up.
Same old, and you know, yep. You kind of know where everyone is. So I feel that's kind of where we are with both of these teams. I will say, the way Collingwood are playing, I would be most interested in looking at a 2 meter Peter against them next week, or potentially a Sam Day, because Sam Day's been playing pretty well. And Jack Lukosius just continues to impress with this move to half back. I know he's not putting out big fantasy scores, but he's certainly someone I'm looking at, you know, down the line as a keeper option.
Definitely.
I would have thought that we've seen outside mids just go absolutely ham against the Suns, although this is Essendon and there, Jekyll and Hyde. The thing that worries me is Andrew McGrath. He just doesn't have a fantasy game.
He does not. He does not. See, that's the thing. I even thought Zaharakis should have smashed it.
Zaharakis should have.
And he shit the bed.
But that's, you know, Zaharakis is prone to that. But I'm kind of like, I'm really interested in McGrath because everyone sees him, well, a lot of people see him as this lockdown keeper. I'm having a real hard time thinking that's the right move.
I see him going the way of a Luke McDonald. Like, he's a good footballer, but he's just going to be a role player and not a fantasy player.
Well, let's not go that far, but
I'm calling it now. You've heard it here on the Draft Doctors First.
Yikes. I'm cagey, man. I'm really, really cagey. This is a game he should have eaten up.
It should have been. Well, just looking at the fantasy scores without seeing the game, it just didn't go the way it had been going the previous weeks.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, that is all the reviews for round 19. We are moving on now not the waiver wire pickups. We have the iTunes reviews, where we are trying to get me to 230 ratings, where I'm going to eat the world's hottest corn chips, dip my face in some peanut butter, nudie run on grand final day, and whatever the hell else you guys can think of. We are up to 219 ratings as we speak, and we do have a review from Bent Crotchin, and it's just CBAs in little heart emojis. And Bent says, must say the CBA articles helped me pick a Ripper in hashtag off. I should have read this before even reading this out. Hashtag off brand last week. Bolton playing Ed Curnow as a pressure forward earlier in the year made no sense, but it gave him forward status. Fast forward to once Teague has started using the CBA stats, I thought Curnow was a real gem, playing as a mid again, and got him in at last week. Should have read that and screened that before we said it, but hey, that's what they're there for your daily fantasy, your off-brand, for everyone, really.
Just for all the listeners, this is the sort of weekly treats you were privy to a few years ago. I can hear you sucking on your beer. It's terrible, man.
It's not beer, it's water. There is a lot of speaking today. A lot of speaking today.
Yeah, speaking's bad.
Especially for me. But moving on now to our waiver wire pickups, where we use Ultimate Footy 65% ownership or less in case you are in a deeper league, just to give you a bit of a chance. Steve, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, I got some pretty tasty options, and certainly a lot of them were probably players who were actually drafted. Talking about Riley Bonner coming in as a defender, 37% ownership, threw out a massive ton. Actually, he's been pretty handy for the last month. I know he's a bit hot and cold, so expectations tempered with Bonner, but certainly a good option. Michael Gibbons from Carlton, 38% ownership, midfield forward, averaging 75 Dream Team over the last 5 weeks, and that has one bad score, one good score. I know Carlton have got a couple of tough matchups, but he's not playing as a forward. He's really getting up the ground a lot. I know that he's not actually in the centre bounce, but he is spending a lot of time through the midfield. So I'm certainly interested in Michael Gibbons if you're struggling. Andrew Brayshaw, we certainly mentioned it's Brayshaw season next year. Still only 65% owned. I mean, what is going on with some keeper leagues here, Jono? Surely he's got to be owned in all of them.
Absolutely.
Back-to-back tons, certainly like Brayshaw. Scooter Selwood, we mentioned, 48% owned. Plays against the aforementioned Dockers next week, so might be a bit of option there with some potential Geelong restings. Nick Caulfield, 25% ownership, listed as defender, has had a couple of good weeks in a row, might be starting to settle down like Hunter Clark and play some good footy. The thing I like, Jono, playing the Crows. So certainly a good option there. And listed as a forward, Jack Riewoldt, 63% ownership against the Demons. Tom Lynch is actually only 75% owned, so he might be floating around in some shallow leagues. But the D's gave up 7 goals to Bruce and Membry, so they can be had. Supercoach owners, I know you didn't like Sandy, but they're playing the Cats, and in a Supercoach league, Sandy just scored 87 Supercoach without a kick. Without a kick. So that's certainly something I'll be watching. And small forwards against Fremantle, looking at Parsons or Myers if you're really struggling for a forward option there. And I'll just say on Levi Casbolt, I know he's been terrific for the last 5 or 6 weeks in that forward ruck role. Things, the way the matchups have fallen, it's kind of gone his way. And don't want to take anything away from him because he's been fantastic. But they've got West Coast and Richmond over the next couple of weeks, so I might just temper my expectations if I'm looking at playing Levi Casbolt.
Cool. A couple on to add that. I've got Oscar McInerney, 41% against the Dogs if you need a forward. Bundy Christensen has been playing pretty well as that small forward / winger. He's in 54% of leagues as well. Bailey Dale has kicked about 10 goals in the last 2 weeks. He's 15%, is playing the Lions, so I'd be tempering my expectations on that one. Carl Amon, 69%, very nice, floating around in leagues there. And Burgoyne, if you're looking for a defender, is 68%, just slightly over the threshold, but he's taking centre bounces, which I like. And I've got all the rest of you do as well, pretty much.
It seems like a really good week for pickups.
Certainly does, yeah. Even just thinking, yeah, there'll probably be a few more that we've missed. Like you said, Tom Lynch last week, he was low ownership, but I think people have jumped on him, which we mentioned. Jack Riewoldt, surprised that he's so lowly owned as well.
Well, he's been kind of shit and missed a lot of time, so.
That is true. That is true. But he'll get back on track. What are they playing? Melbourne this week, aren't they? So,
yay.
Yeah, good times. All right, moving on now to our trade of the week, where Steve is looking to palm someone off or pick someone up.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to... I hate to big up my own players, but I had Heppel, and I was like, as soon as the game was over, I'm like, man, you got to sell him. Like, it's over, baby. And he missed. But I actually think now's a great time to pick up Pendles, who I've got in my home league. Pies mids are just going down like flies. Jordan Goey's got a hamstring strain. Taylor Adams was a laid out. We don't know what's going to happen there. And the previous couple of weeks, Pendles had only attended one centre bounce. Mate, there is no option but to play him in there all the time. And here's the thing. The next 3 weeks are Gold Coast, Demons, and Adelaide. Like we know the Gold Coast tag, and Pendles is probably a good tag target because he's slow as fucking treacle. But the Demons sometimes tag, Adelaide never tag. Like, I mean, come on. Like, if you still got trades going on in your league, I think he's a pretty good target.
Yeah, don't mind it at all.
And his score this week didn't blow up, like, so it's still kind of hidden.
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Who are they playing in the midfield, Collingwood? I've got, I was thinking about it. I'm like, who have they got?
Next week. Well, they've been playing Crisp a lot in the middle.
Oh, okay.
And Dugowie's been playing a stack through the midfield as well, although a lot of the time he takes centre bounces and then just goes straight forward. But this week he actually played a lot through the midfield. So it'll probably be a combination of Saidi, Pendles, Treloar.
Yeah.
They might bring in Wills or Sire.
Sire's injured as well.
Oh, yes, true. Well, I mean, Wills has even been battling, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad time. Well, I mean, they got no option. They got no options.
No, that is true. And the Statesman, he is not here, but did he send through a Captain Risky?
No, he didn't. He didn't. Do you want to give us one, John, off the top of your head?
Top of my head, Pendlebury.
Boom.
There you go.
Boom.
Very risky.
Playing right. The Suns. Good matchup. He's an inside midfielder. What, an outside midfielder? Chris Mayne.
Yeah. He's high ownership. That's why I didn't have him on the list. I was looking.
He scored it. Well, he scored a ton this week as well.
He did. So. I was going to say James Ash, but he's injured. Jesus Christ, Collingwood.
Their whole fucking team's injured.
Just pray for Sharon Goat. Pray for Sharon Goat.
Oh, don't.
Hey, look, we had Dale Morris go down, grabbed his knee again, so looks like it's another ACL, so we'll just use that motivation to go on and win the premiership now like we did with Bob Murphy and be a happy man.
Was Dale Morris in that premiership team?
Yes, he was. Played with a broken back.
What a machine. What a legend.
He is a legend. I don't want to have a beer with Dale Morris.
Well, round 23, come up to the inferior rat, and we'll see if we can organise it.
Well, the doggies playing up there, are they?
Yeah, in round 23, they're playing...
Crows.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, the Crouchers will be just up the road. They live. They're from Beaufort.
Oh, okay. Sleep at mum and dad's place. Now, we haven't done this for a while. I've got a question, Steve. We've probably done it before on the show before, but are you a hard or soft shell taco man?
We've actually done this before. I'm definitely a hard. I'm a hard shell taco.
I'm a soft shell.
But you know what the nut move is, Jono?
What's that?
The nut move is putting the soft shell around the hard shell.
Hmm.
I've had this before. There was a Taco Bill in Beaconsfield. They do like a tasting night, like one night a month or something, and they serve the double shells. So you know how the hard shell inevitably breaks when you, as soon as you take a bite or look at taking a bite, and shit just goes flying everywhere. So they wrap the hard shell in the soft shell, so it's, once it splits, it's still within a taco, but you still get the nice crunchiness.
Interesting.
It's the nut move.
Some have tacos.
Yeah, it's a good move.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week. Don't forget to check out the website, draftdoctors.com.au, and we have the articles dropping each and every week with Dossie's Dilemmas on Mondays, A Dozen Deals by Sam Porter on a Tuesdays, Statesman Skippers, the CBAs on the Wednesdays, my late week pickups, as well as... a weekly dossage every Friday as well. You can check us out.
Did you say a weekly dossage?
That's what it says here in the run sheet.
It's meant to be dosage, but I don't even think he's been doing them. Doss is snowed in.
Oh, okay.
This is the thing. He came over to we're very grateful to have Doss on board because he does a power of work, and he thought he'd do less work working with us. And
sucked
well,
in.
Well, he's on stress leave as we speak.
Oh, I didn't even notice, to be honest, that he hadn't done it this week. But no questions this week. But again, check out the social medias, the Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebooks. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.